A little bit about ourselves. I was born and raised in southern Missouri, and that's why I'm a Cardinals fan, you know? I mean, you were raised in, what, L.A., right? You know, so I rooted for the Dodgers last year, and then they just laid down when they got to the World Series. But anyway, after I got out of school, joined the military. I was in the military for 11 years, Air Force, and it was then... Before then, I met my wife. I met my wife the day that I was going to sign up. Her dad was a three-war vet, Air Force, retired from the Air Force after serving three wars. And Karen had said, I don't want to ever marry a military guy. Well, the day I went to sign up, I met her. Anyway, and we dated for a year. Then I went in, and God sent us overseas to England, and we got saved there. And that was in 1983. And then, so we stayed in 11 years, military churches, and just great works. We were able to be in missions churches. So missions has been a part of our heart ever since we've been saved. Praise the Lord for that. And then the Lord let me pastor a missions-hearted church in Louisiana. That's where we got out and went back to Bible college and pastored a church there for 16 years. And then one Sunday, the Lord said, get in the plate. You've been given to missions, now get in. And so we went to Sudan, Africa. It had just opened up for missions after the war. And the South won their freedom from the Muslim North. And they were asking for pastors and churches to come over and help them establish their land. Jay Sekulow from the American Center for Law and Justice helped write their constitution. It's amazing what happened there. Well, so we went in 2009, stayed for 4 years, and... we're able to see about nine churches started. God really, really blessed, and it was just a fertile mission field. Unfortunately, now the people, the war started up again, moved south where we were at, so the people we worked with are now in refugee camps in Uganda. It's kind of the story of Africa. It's they prosper, and then tribal fighting comes, and then they just go back into war. But anyway, the good thing is we train men that are doing the work in refugee camps right now. We still help some guys over there and stay in touch with them. So the work goes on because the work is of the Lord, and God's work goes on. Well, but that's a little bit about us. And so when we came back in 2013, the pastor at Bible Fellowship was an acquaintance of ours, friend of ours, and asked if we'd come out and help him. And anyway, he left, we stayed. So anyway, long story short, we're glad to be in California because that's where God wants us. Praise the Lord. Matthew 14 this morning in your Bible, Matthew 14. I love preaching on missions. As I said, we were saved on the mission field in a mission to military work. And then we're in missions-hearted churches all of our life, Christian life. And we're just thankful for what God has done and been able to use us. And maybe talk a little bit more about Sudan tonight and some experiences we had. We worked among the poorest people in the world, but rich in Jesus, rich in the Lord. And having seen both riches and poor, I'd rather be poor in material things and rich in the Lord if I had a choice. I know God's put us in America, and God's going to hold us accountable for what we've got here in our country. But everybody I'm talking to this morning is rich, okay? You're rich in Jesus. Just trust me and what we've got in the Lord. And so we're going to talk about feeding the 5,000. This is familiar account in the life of the Lord Jesus. It's the only miracle recorded in all four Gospels. We're going to read Matthew's account of it in Matthew 14, beginning in verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." They said unto him, "We have here but five loaves and two fishes." He said, "Bring them hither to me." He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the five loaves and two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the privilege to be here at Faith Baptist. Thank you for Pastor Rogers and family and the church. And Lord, what you've done in this ministry through the years, what you're doing and what you want to do here. And we pray that you'd help us to just encourage the people along the way. In Jesus' name, amen. As with all of the Lord's illustrations and parables or stories, they were illustrations of his power, his grace, his love, and his mercy. And this is no different. He performed miracles in the natural realm to show what he was trying to teach us in the spiritual realm. And in this miracle, we see a lot of spiritual truth concerning getting the gospel, the bread of life, to the world, to the masses. And he uses an illustration that we can get our eyes on. We can see this literally with our eyes, and we can apply it to the spiritually. Before the Lord that day were a great number of people. The Bible says 5,000 beside women and children, perhaps 25,000 people. Some people have said more than that. We don't know for sure, but there was a lot of people with a great physical need, and Jesus had the mighty power to meet that need, and with the cooperation of the disciples, he did meet that need in a great way, and we have the account of it. You know, in the world today, there's multitudes of people, 7.7 billion, billion people in this world today. I mean, just an amazing number of people that are in desperate spiritual need. As these people in our story here were hungry physically, this world is desperately spiritually hungry. They're desperate, and the hour is late. I wrote down in my Bible right here, the need is great, and the hour is late. That's exactly what was happening here. The need was great. There were thousands of people there. They'd been hearing Jesus teach. The hour was late, time for supper, and the need is great. And I want to say today that the hour is late that we're living in. We're living in the last days. I really believe that. I know your pastor believes that. You hear that. We're living in the last days. The need has never been greater where we live in this world today. So we're going to walk through these verses and see how Jesus met the need and see how we can be involved in this matter of meeting the need, getting the bread of life to the world. That's what missions is all about, getting the bread of life. Really, missions and witnessing is one beggar that's found bread telling another beggar where to get bread. And we have found the bread of life. God brought us the message, praise the Lord, and we've been saved by the grace of God. Now it's our responsibility to take this word to the world. How are we going to do that? Well, this helps us right here. First of all, the crowd that he saw. Verses 14 and 15 tell us two things about the crowd. Its size was a great multitude, he says, and its condition. It was eventide. The people were weary. There was a desert place. They were hungry. And it's a picture of humanity without God tonight. It's a picture of humanity. There's a great need tonight in the world, and people are desperate. People are desperate without the bread of life. They're tired. They're in a barren place spiritually. They're in a desert place spiritually, and they need the bread of life. And Jesus said, previously, just over in chapter 11, he had said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So Jesus was the answer. And what we need to see tonight, or this afternoon, this morning, is the crowd in with our eyes. The thing about a missions conference helps us to lift up our eyes and look. Lift up our eyes and see this morning the desperate need of people. You know, it helps when we see the multitudes. When we see the multitudes. I used to think of California. You know, every time I would think about California, you see clips on the news of California, and it always shows L.A. traffic, you know. It always shows people going, you know, just, and I thought, you know, here I am now driving, not, praise God, not in L.A. traffic, but at least you're, you know, all these people that are out here. You know, one out of seven Americans live in California. There's a lot of people in our state. Huge opportunity. Huge. People back east, they found out I'm out in California, and they say, "Wow, what's it like out here?" I said, "Nothing but people. Just opportunities. People need the Lord." And it just, you know, we need to get our eyes on, off of ourselves and on the need. The crowd that he saw was immense. Now lift up our eyes a little bit further this morning and think about the the three, almost 4 billion people in this world that live in an area called the 1040 window. That's 10 degrees north to 40 degrees north. Goes from China to India, Asia. And it's a swath of land where there's 2.1 or 2.2 billion Muslims in the world that will live and die and never hear the name of Jesus Christ in a positive way. There's Asians there, the Buddhists, the animists are in Africa, a lot of North Africa people. They're there in that window. They've never heard. It's not that they've never heard. They've never had a chance to hear. You know, we hear the gospel. I was out door knocking in our neighborhood in an apartment complex just down across the street from our church, and come across some Farsi-speaking Afghanistan people. These families are, the men worked for the U.S. government in Kabul and in Afghanistan, a lot of them as interpreters. The men know English. They work for the U.S. government, work for the embassy, work for the army. And after a couple of years, the Taliban puts a contract on their life, and the U.S. government gives them a special visa and sends them to America with their families. Their families don't speak a bit of English, but the guys do, the men do. Well, here they are. Sacramento's been a receiving city for a lot of these Afghan refugees. There's thousands of them in our city. And this apartment complex is full of them. I call it Little Kabul. We go over there and I got Gospels of John in Farsi and begin to try to witness to them. And Muslim people are very kind. They're very receptive. They'll have you in and serve tea and listen to you. That I know of, I haven't had any results for the Lord yet. But, you know, I was looking at statistics. You know, in Afghanistan, the chance of you hearing the gospel is one in every 67 years. One chance of hearing the gospel in 67 years. That means you can live and die and never hear the gospel. And God has sent them to Sacramento. And I said, well, they're going to hear the gospel here. God sends the refugees here. We need to do something about them right here. But think about the world this morning that never had a choice to hear the gospel. Lift up our eyes and look on the fields, Jesus said. So the crowd that he saw. And then notice, secondly, the compassion that he felt. We see this in verse 14. Jesus went forth a great multitude and was moved with compassion. Jesus, verse 16, said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. You see, disciples wanted to send the multitudes away. Jesus said, no, they don't need to depart. Give them something to eat. Don't you know the disciples here felt powerless? They felt powerless. I mean, Jesus moved with compassion. His heart was stirred within them. But his disciples weren't that way. They're hurting people. They were hungry people. They were, as Jesus in his own words earlier, he said, there is sheep having no shepherd. Jesus saw these people like that. But the disciples didn't see him like that. And I think sometimes the church, we are like the disciples a lot in that we just, our attitude toward people are we're so wrapped up in our Christian things that we send people away without ever coming to get the bread of life. Listen, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want to tell you, this church loves you, God loves you, and he wants you to have a personal relationship with him. This isn't a church that's going to send you away hungry. You need to come and be filled. You can get what you need in Jesus Christ. But Christians are oftentimes, and I'm sure these guys were, preoccupied with the things of this world and the cares of this world. And we enjoy our time with the Lord and our worship time. We enjoy feeding with the Lord and our feeding time. But we don't have the compassion that we need. Jesus had compassion on these people. We need the compassion of the Apostle Paul. Back in Romans chapter 9, in first couple of verses, Paul says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for the brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul says, my own flesh, people, the Israelites, who he's talking about, he was an Israelite. He was a Jew that had been saved. And he's saying, listen, I'm burdened. My heart is hurting this morning for my people. And we need that compassion. You know how you get that compassion? Seeing the multitudes. Seeing the multitudes. You have church-wide visitation. You're never going to get a burden unless you go out. When you go out, you see the lostness of people. You grab a sack of tracks this week and just go somewhere, stand on the corner, go somewhere to the mall, go somewhere and pass out tracks. You see the lostness of people. It helps to see the multitudes to get compassion on them, to see the multitudes. I read about many years ago a church in Chicago on a Sunday morning. It was time for church, but the pastor wasn't anywhere to be found, and the janitor of the church went back into the pastor's office, and he's there, sitting there, and he's looking out of his window in an upstairs office over the slums of Chicago where the church was and the rooftops of the slums, and tears were pouring down his eyes, and the janitor said, "Pastor, it's time for church." And he says, "Oh, I'm sorry. Time got away from me." He said, "I didn't realize." He said, "I was just looking out over these people, and I was getting burdened how life is for them. It's probably not easy, and they're lost, and I've got compassion for them, and it's just stirring my heart." And the janitor says, "Well, don't worry, Pastor. You'll get used to seeing that." And he said, "That's why the tears. I don't want to get used to it." You know, we should never get used to the sound of people dying and going to hell. 180,000 people will die this morning, today, and they'll spend eternity somewhere. You get out on traffic tomorrow morning, there's people all around you that are destined for either heaven or hell. We need to have the compassion of our Lord. Oh, that God would give us that compassion, that God would give us a broken heart. Listen, as a preacher, and your pastor would tell you the same thing, sometimes I get wrapped up in the Christian work that I'm doing, and I don't get the compassion that I need. I don't get to experience the compassion I need. Once a month, we go down to the rescue mission downtown. This is this week. I'm excited about it. I love preaching at the mission because it just sharpens my sword. It keeps me sharp. When I was in Louisiana, I was a volunteer chaplain at prison. I was telling brother, I miss going to the prison. It keeps us being around lost people. Jesus loved being around lost people, but it helps us have compassion on them. That's the compassion that he felt, and we need to have that compassion because that's how we make a difference. Jude verse 22 says, "And if some have compassion, making a difference." Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Next thing we see is the command that he gave. Verse 16, he says, "Give ye them to eat." Give ye them to eat. This makes up the job of the church. This is our job. Our job is to give this world the bread of life. Our job is to feed this world. I said in Sunday school, when you see ye in your Bibles, that's a you all, or as we said in the South, y'all. You know, so give y'all give them something to eat. You know, the disciples said, "Send them home. We're hungry. They're hungry. Send them home." Jesus said, "No, y'all give them something to eat." That's our job. The church's job is summed up in those words. Matthew chapter 28, he would later give the Great Commission. We know it. What's he say? Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." This command, give ye them to eat. The Great Commission, go into all the world. And oftentimes we see the crowd, and we respond like the disciples because of our inadequacies. Our inadequacies, we really don't have enough to give them. But Jesus says, "Give ye them to eat. Give ye them to give them the bread of life." We look at our 5 loaves and 2 fishes when Jesus wants us to look at him. We need to look at who gave the command, not what we have. We look in our pocketbook, we see this world and the need of this world and another missionary family we need to take on to get to Chile or to get to somewhere with the gospel, and we think, "Oh, wow, I'm doing all I can do." We're looking at the wrong source. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. He's the one that gave his command, the command. You know what Jeremiah said when God called Jeremiah? I think you're familiar with these words. God called Jeremiah, and then said, Jeremiah speaking, "Lord God, I cannot speak. I'm a child." But the Lord said, "Say not I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." Jeremiah said, God said, Jeremiah, just do what I tell you to do. Gideon, God called Gideon and says, oh, mighty man of valor. And Gideon's like, you talking to me? I can't go. Well, I'm just a little family. I'm going to be with you, Gideon. I'm going to be with you. You see, when God calls us to do something, we have His enablement to do so. God's commands are His enablements. And God has told us to get the gospel, the bread of life, to this world, and He will enable us to do it. God works His work through us. It's not my ability, it's my response to His ability. That's what I'm to do. God says, go to all the world with the gospel message, and we're just supposed to go. So He says, give ye them to eat. That's the command. And then the cooperation that He needed. I think this is the last thing. This is what we're going to, for the next few minutes, look at the cooperation that He needed. See, Jesus performed the miracle. He supplied the food, but He conveyed it to the hungry, the multitudes, through the disciples. He got them involved in it. And you know, the Lord this morning could send the gospel to this world by an angel, but He's chose not to do it that way. He's chose to get the gospel to this world through you and I. He's chose to do it through you and I. And we are the means to get the gospel to this world. Nobody's going to hear, your neighbor's not going to hear without you going. You say, well, I wish the preacher could go and for me. You know, I'm surprised. I like leading people to Christ and you know, I like doing it. Sometimes people call and they'll say, preacher, would you come? And somebody needs to be saved. I'm thinking, why don't you lead them to Christ? Well, that's fine. I like doing it. But God's going to uses individuals to do it. I'll tell you a funny story about how we need to pray for missionaries when God, the wisdom missionaries need. I got a call one morning in Sudan and it was another preacher. He called, an African preacher, he called, he says, Pastor Dennis, would you come? There's a lady here who wants to get saved. I think, sure, you know. I mean, just get on my motorbike and jump across the neighborhood, really. But I'm thinking, why didn't you do it? But anyway, I'll be glad to do this, right? So I go in, I lead this lady to the Lord, and then this other lady comes in. And he says, she wants to get saved too. I said, who's he? Or who's she? He said, oh, that's this guy's second wife. So both of them got saved. Both of the guys' wives got saved. He said, what'd you do then? I don't know. You know, what do? Just tell him to pick one. You know, I don't know. There's no further instruction on that kind of stuff. But, missionaries need wisdom, right? But God uses us to lead people to Christ. He uses us to get the gospel to this world. And He used the disciples right here, the cooperation that He needed. They surrendered their inadequate resources to the Lord. Look what they said right here. Verse 17. We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It's all they had. Just a boy's lunch. John's gospel tells us that Andrew is the one that reported the find. He says, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. What are they among so many? Jesus says, bring them hither to me. That's what he says. He doesn't say, is that all you have? Come on, guys. Go back and find. So surely there's more than one boy that has his lunch here. Just go find. That's not what he says. Isn't that good? Bring what you have to the Lord. You know, when we submit our resources to the Lord, He takes and multiplies those resources. You say, preacher, I'm giving all I can. I can't give it. Just give it to the Lord. Just tell the Lord you want to do more. Just tell the Lord you want to give. Hey, give your testimony to the Lord. You say, I've never had a class on winning souls. Just give your testimony to that person that like God lays on your heart and see what He does with it. God can use what we give to Him. Church history is full of stories of men and women who have given to the Lord their little and God has made it big. Missionary John Getty was a Canadian missionary to the New Hebrides Islands, modern day Papua New Guinea. One side of that used to be called the New Hebrides in the 1800s. When Getty came to face with the people God called him to, it was a tribe of cannibals considered to be one of the most dangerous groups of people in the world at that time. Violence, thievery, murder were commonplace among this tribe. In 1849, early in his work, Getty wrote these words in his journal. In darkness, degradation, pollution, and misery that surrounds me, I look forward in faith to the time when some of these poor islanders will unite in the triumph song of ransomed souls unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He believed God, by God's grace, that if he gave his all to the Lord, though it was little, God could do something with his work. John Getty died just before Christmas in 1872. Inscribed on his gravestones was this testimony. In memory of John Getty, when he landed in 1848, there were no Christians here. When he died in 1872, there were no heathen here. One man that gave his all to God, and a whole tribe turned to the Lord. Man, I'd like to be something like, part of something like that. You see, when you give your little to the Lord, God can take and use it, and this is what these disciples said. They gave it to the Lord. Don't you know, listen, if the Lord, if they wouldn't have taken that and obeyed the Lord and given it to him, Jesus would have gone to bed hungry that night. The multitudes would have gone to bed hungry. And that little boy wouldn't have had nothing to talk about but his own lunch. But don't you know, for the rest of his life, that little guy talked about that story? Don't you know when this guy, this boy that gave his lunch to Jesus, don't you know when he was a, when he was an old man, a grandpa, because I'm a grandpa and I know what grandpas do. Did I ever tell you about the time when I gave my lunch to Jesus? Don't you know? Yeah, grandpa, you told us that story. Go ahead, we'll hear it again. Don't you know? What a testimony. He just gave what he had to the Lord. And that's what God wants us to do. Just surrender what we've got to the Lord. They trusted the Lord to do his mighty work. You see, a little faith in a big God is big faith. Amen. That's good. Little faith in a big God. Realize when we share the gospel with somebody, it's the power of God unto salvation. When we share the gospel of God unto salvation, you say, God shed his blood for you, and that's big. And we need to be able to share that. They were active in their service for the Lord. You notice when they gave it to the Lord, their job wasn't over. They gave it to the Lord. You know what the Lord did? You read it right there. He blessed it and he broke it and he gave the loaves to the disciples and the disciples distributed it. See, your job doesn't end when you place that missions offering in the plate. You have a responsibility maybe to go to the mission field. Maybe you need to make a mission trip. Maybe you have a responsibility to go locally so that this church stays alive, so that this church can continue to send more. You have a responsibility. Praise God, you're being involved putting John and Romans together. You realize somebody's going to read that. That's the words of life. Somebody will read that gospel that you're handling and maybe get saved as a result of that. You see, we participate in it. Our responsibility doesn't end when we just put the money in the offering plate. We pray for the missionaries. They need your prayers. Listen, I was a missionary. We need prayer more than anything. God helps us to get involved. And then the need was met, and they ended up with much more than they started. You read that? They started out with one boy's lunch. They ended up with 12 baskets full. Now, how many disciples were there? 12. I think they each got to take a basket full home. Plus, don't you know, they compensated that little guy. And he, don't you know, he went home that day and he said, and his mom, like all moms, would have said, how was lunch? Wait a minute. Where'd you get all that food at? Where did you get that? Mama, I got to tell you something. You won't believe what happened today. So there was much more needed, much more than they had when they began. I don't understand that, but I know it happens. I know it happens. Listen, when I talk about giving, missions giving and giving living, when God called us, we were in debt. And we gave ourselves out of debt in 6 months. I don't know how that happened, other than I know God did it. God did it in a miraculous way. And God continues to do it. And our church, and this church, God continues to do it. Because see, when you give to God, you can't outgive God. And God was proving to them, just give me what you have. He multiplied it. He met the needs of those around, met the needs of everyone there, and ended up with 12 times more than he started with. Only God can do that. You can't outgive God when we make it a priority to get the bread of life to this world. So where are each of you at in this picture? Where are we in this picture? Are we too wrapped up in our lives to notice the lost people around us that need us? They don't just need what we have, they need us. They need us to spend time with them. There's witness and there's witness. And there needs to be some involvement in people's lives so that they'll get the gospel. Are we cooperating with the Lord in this mission? Listen, the Lord gave us a command to do, and He's with us. He says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." God's going to be with us getting the job done. Where are we at? He wants to involve every one of us in this mission. Where are we at this morning? Have you given your life to the Lord? See, it starts with you giving your life. If you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what He wants first. Doesn't want your offering, doesn't want your money. He wants you. He wants you to be fully surrendered to the Lord. God may be calling one of you to go to the mission field. You say, "I'm too old." God called us when we were over 50 years old. That wasn't the easiest thing to do, but God called us and we went and we saw God work great and mighty things. God may be calling you to get in the offering plate and go. You'll never be sorry when you cooperate with the Lord in the greatest mission in the world, and that's reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the privilege to stand and proclaim. Thank you for the bread of life, giving us each the bread of life. We pray that you take this message and apply it to every life, Lord, as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.